putting together a framework of how to tell an interesting story and who to get in front of and being strategic about how you go and tell that story for me is huge from an active income perspective. Because our business is all about letting people know that they can invest differently.
Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we share how we have done over $200 million in real estate deals to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. If you're ready to start investing with purpose, visit freefromwallstreet.com. But for now, let's dive into this episode.
Welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. My name is Stephen Libman. Today, I got Russ and Joey back again.
Just can't get rid of us, man.
Back again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, come on, man. This is what we do. We beat up on Wall Street together, right?
So really, this is true. I know that in every podcast we bring this up, but I came up with the Free From Wall Street name separately. You guys started earlier, but I did not know that you existed. We got connected after I had Free From Wall Street and I started listening to Wealth Without Wall Street. And I was like, wait, these guys do some really cool stuff with insurance and we hate Wall Street together. We should be friends. Right? Most people would have looked at that and been like, oh, this is competition. I don't want to deal with these guys. But no, we got connected. It's been literally years now.
Yeah.
And we've done some really cool stuff together. And I feel like we're just getting started. And I'm so glad to have you guys back on here because we got to give the people what they want. And what they want is passive income.
You think that's what they want? I don't think that they want passive income, Stephen.
I think people say that's what they want. Now, whether or not they'll take the steps to go and get it is not in my control. Right? That's just, we can only give the information.
I'm going to be a contrarian on this podcast right now and say people do not want passive income.
What do they want?
They want what passive income would give them.
Ooh,
that's what they want. I mean, right. To be honest, it's just a tool to the end, right? It's the tool is not important unless it gets them what they want. I think people have been using other tools, right? They've been using 401ks and IRAs and paying off homes and all that other stuff as a tool to try to get them what they want, which was more time, right? More time is the thing that no matter how much money we have, we can't buy any of it back. People are looking for more time. They're looking for more freedom with their time. And they're coming to the understanding that paying off debt, investing in my retirement accounts are myths to getting to me closer to having more time freedom. And then they hear a show like yours or listen to ours, and they hear people talking about building passive income that exceeds their monthly expenses. And they go, maybe that's it. Maybe that's the thing that gives me more time. I think that that's what people want.
Yeah. I mean, average lifespan in the United States, 76 years. You retire at 65. So you work, 45, 55 years to go and retire for 11. That's not sexy anymore. Go to school, get a good job, put money in a 401k and retire when you're nearly dead is not sexy.
We've heard this a million times, but what is it that you're really looking for? Is that freedom? But is it a freedom when you no longer have health, you no longer have the kids? And we were just talking before the show about the ages of your kids, Stephen, the ages of our kids. Do they really want time with mom and dad when they're 45? No, they want it now. They want it when their lives are 100% free to do whatever they need to do. And they want to go and share with you this new thing that they've just thought out, or this new game that they just learned, or whatever. They want to share it now. Don't, like, we can no longer buy into this lie that we should defer all of that until age 65 and beyond.
Yeah, agreed. And you know, it's difficult as business owners, because I know that we talk about the passive income life and like, let's do it now instead of later. And I mean, the fact is you don't get to passive income without active income. Right. And I think a lot of the gurus that teach from the stage always miss this point. They're like, oh yeah, let's just go get some passive income. There's a process to it, right? You need to create some active income. You need to be able to invest that back into something that's going to continue to pay you passively so that you can start to earn some of your time back, not even buy it back, right? You're earning it back. And as you continue to earn it back, you get to maybe take half day Fridays, right? Maybe you get to take the extra couple of days on vacation. You get to do some of those things. If you're blessed enough to have more of a nest egg And wherever you are in life, whether that was passed on to you generationally, whether you sold a business and you had an exit or whatever, right? You kind of jumped the line a little bit there in terms of being able to have that active income, that nest egg that can create that passive income. And I think a lot of my clients hear us talk about this stuff and they're like, well, what are you talking about? You're still working. Like, I talk to you whenever I want to. And that's true, right? I mean, we're active business owners, but all of the active income that I get is turned into passive income. And I think that's the that's an important part to let people understand is like, hey, once you get to this, it's not an arbitrary number, but I love the 200% of your monthly expenses because that gives you true freedom, right? You're paying all of your monthly bills and then you've doubled what you're paying in monthly bills in additional passive income. So what do you really have to go to work for, right? And maybe it's desire, maybe it's nonprofits, maybe it's whatever. I mean, maybe you're just a psycho entrepreneur and you can't put it down. That's fine too. Nobody's saying that's not okay.
Well, and I think for so many entrepreneurs, that's where they fall, right? As a business owner, a lot of times we love what we do unless it's only the means to making money, right? Like we start to hate it. My wife was a dentist, and when she got moved out of the technician seat, moved into the entrepreneur seat, and then she became the HR manager, she became the marketing manager, became the operation manager, in addition to being the dentist. And it all then started to become pressurized with making a profit. She started to hate it. The thing that she went to school for so many years to become and loved it, she became the thing that she hated the most. It's the E-myth with the baker, right? And I think it's funny that you were saying that our active businesses, our passive incomes are not so passive. I was talking to our attorney. Attorney is going to be speaking at our event when we're in Scottsdale. And he's going through all of our different investment accounts and all the different assets that Joey and I own. And as you know, we have more LLCs than we have kids. And he has 5 kids. I have 4 with my wife. And I always make sure to differentiate that. He has his own wife with 5 kids. Okay?
Thank you for clarifying, Russ.
That is good, Kyra.
But we have more LLCs than we have kids. And so he's going through all of those, just making sure we still have the structures right. And he's like, your passive income mastermind that you guys own is actually one of your most active businesses. It's an active income business. Like, it's like, we've got to run this through your S corps because this is not passive. And I was like, I know it's not passive, but he's like, but you love doing it, don't you? And I was like, absolutely. Hanging out with people like Steven, this what makes my day. Like this learning, like to me, learning now, because I have kids that are still in school. My wife homeschools our kids and I'm talking to them and I'm asking them, what did you learn today? And a lot of times I'm getting some grief and I spend my time talking to them about, you know, learning is only an issue when you don't care about what you're learning, but you love it when you're learning the things that you want to be doing. I was like, I love learning. I love showing up twice a month to our meetings in the mastermind to talk about tax strategies, finding out ways that I can create more passive income that I don't have to touch, right? Learning about how to invest in self-storage or car washes or multifamily or whatever the thing is. I love that. That's super interesting to me. Not that I want to become an expert in it, but I want to know about it because as an educated investor, I learn what sort of questions I should be asking operators. And usually you're the one teaching me those things.
So if you guys are just, if you guys don't know what we're talking about yet, let me break it down. So Russ and Joey started a group not so long ago called the Passive Income Mastermind. I'm a member of that mastermind. There's some really, really cool people. So it's currently the only mastermind that I'm in. If you guys have been listening to the show for a while, you know that I'm all about masterminds. It's changed my life. Masterminds literally made us millionaires. And it was because we are going to pay for it one way or the other. You're going to pay for it in education. You're going to pay for it in experience. You're going to pay for it in mistakes, or you're going to pay for it in mentorship. And the fastest and least bloody way that you can pay for it is in a mastermind. Right. I've done both. The first 6 years of the business was brutal, learning how to do a bunch of different things on our own and feeling like we're on an entrepreneurial island. Is that's a real thing that entrepreneurs experience. And when you start getting around folks that think differently, think more like you, and can teach you how to think differently and less like yourself, depending on how you were raised, is a good thing, especially when you know that everybody in the room is being authentic, They're successful not because they were dropped on top of the mountain, but they climbed it. And they're literally pulling the curtain back and showing you all of the things that have made them successful and all of the mistakes where they lost money. And so this is the only mastermind that I'm in currently. We travel about four times a year to get together, right? We're on calls every other week. No, you guys have calls more than that. There's two sets of calls, right? So we get together with other entrepreneurs. We get together with a bigger community. There's a great app that they have that we can just go on and start chatting about some things where it's a very interactive community. So anyway, I just wanted to lay that out because that's what we're talking about here. Because before when Russ said, oh yeah, we're going to have this person come and speak to us in Scottsdale, that's the events that we're talking about. And usually it's exclusive to the members of the mastermind. I know every once in a while you guys open it up to some guests. I think they can find that where on the passive income retreat, we'll kind of lay out some of the different things that we have going on. And but just follow the guys from Wealth Without Wall Street. Go to the Passive Income Mastermind, Passive Income Retreat, and listen to some of the things that they're doing. And when you can join, the app is free to join, or very basically free, like $10 a month or whatever it is. And then just get involved. What is it, Joey? I see you smiling. That's not what it is. How much does it cost?
No. So the app that you... We have a just general app that's open to everybody for free, right? The one that you're talking about is kind of the special group within our app is just for the mastermind. So you only have access when you're a member of we call it, as you mentioned, the Club 200, right? The Club 200 is specific to that ideal of each one of us. All of us have different reasoning, but each one of us is trying to get to 200% of our monthly expenses in passive income. One thing I wanted to correct you on though, Stephen, is you mentioned all the different possible ways to pay for this education, right? Masterminds, mentorship, so on and so forth. The other way you pay is by doing nothing, right? The opportunity cost of doing nothing and just wondering, what are these guys even talking about right now, right? Being stuck in neutral means you're going backwards, and it's costing you millions of dollars to just be listening to a conversation and wondering, how could I possibly get to this number? Like, this is silly. What these guys are talking about, 200% of their monthly expenses in passive income, that just seems outlandish, right? If I were to join a group like that, why would it all of a sudden unlock things that I just didn't know? Like, there's either you've arrived, you feel like you arrived and you don't need any help and it's costing you millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Or number two, you don't believe that you're worthy of these same results for whatever reason. You have a money mindset that's messed up, and we've all had these growing up. We have to kind of get past those. But I want to point that out because that's a real challenge. And yeah, I just want to encourage you to step outside of that and recognize that cost so that you can do something about it.
Yeah, such a good point, because doing nothing, before I joined a mastermind, I was literally listening to a podcast for years and I was like, man, this sounds pretty good, but I don't believe it, right? I had a belief issue. That was my issue. And whether that belief issue was that I wasn't worthy of it or that I couldn't achieve those things or whatever it was just these self-limiting beliefs. And getting around other people that have had those and overcome them is so amazing, right? Because like I said before, not everybody on top of the mountain just landed there. And around people that are super real about what it took to get there and how to give you shortcuts, frankly, is amazing.
The fastest way to having your lid raised is by being in a mastermind. In my opinion, it's the point, Russ and I talk about this all the time. How awesome would it be to show up to a group like this and to go and just have a little sidebar conversation with somebody about like this big, hairy, audacious goal that you're trying to accomplish, and then put their arm around you and just say, man, that's cute. That's real cute. This is what I've actually been working on. And it's 10 or 100 times what you could have imagined. All of a sudden, your big, hairy, audacious goal just became super easy. Like, I'm not trying to downplay the way you think. I'm saying you have to be surrounded by bigger thinkers to raise that lid. And it just happens quickly. like super fast whenever you're in the right room.
So here's what I want to do, because I'm sitting here thinking, if I was listening to the three of us talk, maybe interesting, but I'm very practical in nature. And I know if I'm with my wife, she's super practical. She's like, you guys are being way too conceptual in your conversation. Let's peel the curtain
visionaries.
Back. Yeah, let's peel the curtain back a second. Let's give some actual tangible things of what we're learning and what we're having conversations with inside of the mastermind. You guys good with that?
Let's do it.
Like, I'm all about giving some free information, man. Like, I think that the beauty of what, as visionaries, as you say, one of the things that I love about being visionary is when I learn, I don't want to be the cul-de-sac for the information. I want to pass it on to someone else as quick as I possibly can. So I'm going to take the reins from you. This is your podcast, but this is what I do on ours always. I take Joey out of the lead seat.
Yeah. Dude, he can't help himself. I'm sorry, Steve.
But so, what
I've seen his culture index.
Yeah, what is the either the best thing or the latest thing that you've learned as a member inside of our mastermind, Stephen, that is worthy of someone listening right now to hear from you?
So I think we were chatting a little bit about this. So there's a guy in our mastermind that may or may not have sold his business for nearly $3.5 billion. And you can learn from this guy, right? Like, a lot. And part of what I learned was that you just need more eyeballs on you, right? You could be super successful if you have more eyeballs on you. But to do that, you have to tell an interesting story. So putting together a framework of how to tell an interesting story and who to get in front of and being strategic about how you go and tell that story, for me, is huge from an active income perspective, right? Because our business is all about letting people know that they can invest differently. And you guys, similar to me, have to tell that same story. And there's so many people that need to hear that this is a real thing, right? We don't have to deal with the volatility of the stock market. It was down 1,000 on Friday. I don't know if it's up or down today. It's just, and alternative investments are a big piece of private equity in the world, but private equity is always looked at as real estate or real estate investment trusts on Wall Street, not necessarily like, hey, I like this guy, I know this guy, I trust this guy, and he runs a $100 million fund, I can invest with him. And so it's just, how do we get more times up at bat to tell that story? And who can we connect to that can help us connect, right? And how do we add value to the people that can add value to our lives? And just kind of really understanding that relationship that we need to create so that we can go and get in front of more people to continue to build our brand and build our business. So that was the most recent takeaway for me, was a guy who 10x the business in 5 years or 3.5, whatever it was, that, and saying, oh, hey, this is, here's a cool thing that you can try. And it was just like, oh, duh. Like, yeah, of course, the more people I talk to about alternative assets, the more people that will know. But how do I supercharge that conversation instead of doing these one-on-one conversations? How do I do 1 to 1,000 conversations, right? And because of that, I have my first speaking gig in 2 weeks in Manhattan in front of hundreds of people talking about, you know, how we can give back abundantly through this real estate stuff. So all it took was an idea, and I'm an implementer, right? I hear great ideas and I'm like, of course, that's smart. I'm going to go do that. And I go do it. Now, if you're not one of those people, then that might not have been helpful, but it was super helpful to me. So that was something that was super tangible and implemented right away.
I love that. By the way, I don't know if we've even shared this with you, but in Scottsdale, we have T. Harv Eker's son, Jesse Eker, who teaches on how to build a one-to-many business online, and has done it for some of the biggest names out there, is going to be doing a workshop for our membership. So it's going to be a lot of fun. All right.
Well, I hope it's recorded, because you know I have to stay home for my daughter's birthday. Otherwise, I need to call one of the guys in the mastermind that has a jet, and there's a few. And just ask them if they could get me out there for the day.
We will be recording that, because that workshop is going to be so awesome. And here's where I see that playing too, is for most of our members are trying to figure out, they've got to the point where they have access to deals. Deals is not the issue anymore. It is, how do I use my capital efficiently? And how do I start helping those in my network, right? As you're listening to this podcast, you probably have become a pretty decent investor. You've probably made some pretty good choices. But my guess is that most of the people you spend time around have not done that. And they look up to you. They're listening to you when you're out playing golf, when you're at, you know, at the family reunion or whatever, and you're having these conversations, and they would love the opportunity to invest with you into Stephen's deals and others' deals. And what I love about what I've been learning through this process, because I was, like many of you, been decent at investing my own dollars, but had not started investing with others, meaning hadn't started using other people's money to help them win too. Because I think this should be a win-win opportunity, and I'm being too selfish if I'm only hogging all the information to myself. If I'm not like getting those around me that I know, like, and love to get involved, to get out of the rat race personally, who may not be willing to go and take the time that you and I and Joey have taken to learn all these things. And I think that, you know, what's really interesting is I'm learning, one, how to structure that correctly. I'm learning how to partner with those people in a way that makes it a win-win for everybody involved. And I think that's been one of the biggest success stories I've had, and why I'm super excited even about Jesse Ecker speaking in our member workshop, is that now I could do that in an environment that even gets a little bit outside of my just normal sphere of people. Because when you're able to do it online and do one to many, now you really can fast track your pathway as well as their pathway to financial freedom. What about for you, Joe?
I think for me, we just recently went through the right next thing framework in our community, in our group. And during that process, it became really clear to me that I don't have a very strong, big family plan, if that makes sense. Like, I know, Stephen, you've talked about Jim Shields and the family boardroom process. That's a really cool way to like engage with your kids now and at the ages that there are, and make the most of your time with them. For me, it's more about what is the overall huge vision of our family. We got challenged by a 100-year plan, right? Do I have a 100-year plan in place for my family? Do we have trusts and other like vehicles set up that will help to direct the family eat long after I'm gone? Like, those are things that my lid has been really low on, and I needed to be challenged. And so now I'm able to take action based on where other people are far, far ahead of me in those areas. So that to me is one of the biggest things that I know I need to continue working on.
So the audience is going, man, this is sounding really familiar from the last couple of podcasts that Stephen released. And it's because all I'm talking about is this 100-year plan. And the reason I'm talking about it is because it was brought up in our mastermind. And thank you, Russ, and probably Joey, because you paid for half of it for the book Entrusted that Russ sent to me, which I'm reading, which I've talked about so far on the book. And now we are talking about that legacy planning, right? My quarterly rock is to create a 100-year business, family, and donor advised fund giving plan. Now, does that mean it'll be final by the end of this quarter? No. But what I am starting to do, and this is what I think every good goal should do in the beginning, is it creates a million questions that you didn't even know you should be asking because you're going down the rabbit hole. So the book Entrusted has been really good to start opening my eyes about those things. And yeah, that became a quarterly rock of mine, because I was like, man, I don't look at anything through a 100-year lens. I just wonder about tomorrow. That's and now right. We're going through the trust conversations. We're doing, I just had a conversation with JD 2 days ago, maybe Friday, to talk about implementing paid up additions rider IBC policies on my kids. My wife and I have them, but now it's time to put them on the kids. And what starts to blow your mind is when you start to think about, okay, so the trusts, the policies can make the trust the beneficiary, right? You start doing some of the things that the Rockefellers have done and started creating this legacy generational wealth type things. And we'll continue to give you updates on this podcast as to how it's going as I'm learning about this stuff. But you're never going to get on 20 minutes of those podcasts what I'm going to get in the next 6 months from being in a room with other people going, oh, here, I'm a trust attorney. right? And then this other guy going, well, I can create the IBC policy, and then starting to essentially financially map out not just your life, but the legacy. My wife in her Bible study, I heard her overheard her talking with the ladies about legacy, and they're talking about this word legacy. I just thought it'd be an interesting point to throw out here as we talk about these things. It's like your inheritance is what you leave. The legacy is who you leave it to. And that's a line directly out of Entrusted. And that was so big for me, because what you're talking about when you're talking with an entrusted family or somebody that's leaving a legacy and legacy wealth, it's what is the character of the person that I'm leaving it to, right? The inheritance is what we're leaving, but the character of the person we're leaving to is really the legacy. And I don't think a lot of us think about this. I mean, I know right. Overwhelmingly people talk about leaving an inheritance and how it's going to get left. And that's not helpful, right? That's not a 100-year plan. That's 90% of generational wealth is lost in the third generation. That means our grandkids will squander it. That's not acceptable.
Right.
So getting in rooms of other people thinking about this stuff, can you imagine brainstorming for a 2-day weekend about this stuff over dinner with other people that are building and passing on generational wealth? That's what we do in this group. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
Well, it creates accountability. We were in one of our Club 200 calls where we break up into groups of two or three, and we're talking about what is that right next thing for you? What's the thing that you're going to work on? And I was sharing that very thing that I had done. A lot of the preliminary planning as it relates to Entrusted, I've done the family core values. I've sat down with the attorney. I've given them my information. I'm, you know, at those final steps, but I'm at the final steps. I haven't done some of those final things. And one of our members said to me, okay, when are you going to do it? And I'm like, I don't know. He goes, well, that's not good enough. Give me a date. And so I gave him a date. And sure enough, the next week, he was texting me saying, how close are you to getting that done? And so I scheduled the meeting with the attorney. I literally just had the meeting last Friday to take some of those next steps. And to me, that's what it's about, right? Like it, when you have a goal, you write it down, you have a chance at succeeding. If you have a goal, you write it down and you tell someone else, now it becomes absolute, right? Like now you have someone. And when you have other people that are as bought into helping you because they want the same thing in return, right? That's what all of this is. Everything that we talk here, you could go to an event, you could go to a YouTube, you go to a podcast and probably hear, right? I think sometimes people expect there to be this mysterious amount of information that you get at these events that you can't get otherwise. That's not the truth. What you're paying is to have it brought into organization, right? You're not paying for information, you're paying for organization. But what you're also paying for is accountability in the group in which you're with, right? To me, the higher the caliber of the group, the higher the accountability is within it. Because people who are that successful didn't get there by chance. They got there because of process. And accountability is what got them there. And they'll hold you accountable because they have higher standards than most of the people you hang out with.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the relationship aspect of what it is that you guys have created. I mean, it's a cultural focused mastermind where I've been in some groups where if you're going to stroke a check, you can be in the group. I know for a fact that that's not how yours is. And I only know that for a fact, not because I've asked you, but because I've been on the buses, I've gone out to dinners and I've been with the people that are in the group. And, you know, unless you only know a bunch of really cool people, like you guys are doing a great job vetting because of who comes in there, because it is a cultural fit. And so I can't speak highly enough about it. Make sure that you're going to thepassiveincomeretreat.com and checking out some of the other events and things like that. But Russ, let's hear from you. You wanted us to give some tactical, strategic things. What's the newest, best thing that you're doing? I mean, I know you had the attorney things mapped out in some of those meetings, but how about today?
Well, I said that just a second ago. I think that probably is the latest thing that I'm working on is organizing all of those structures. We have tons of different assets in different places, but getting them out of my name, because as an operator, you know, in a company, I'm the one that's going to get sued. And I just hadn't even considered just like my primary residence. It doesn't need to be my name. It needs to be my wife's trust. So that's one of the moves that we're making. We're setting up Wyoming LLCs and holding a lot of our assets into those different LLCs to give us an extra layer. I mean, you were talking about the life insurance stuff. Huge fan of life insurance. Have 20-something policies. You know, we have seven figures in cash values. We use it for all of our deals. But the reality is that there's an attorney out there that if they wanted to sue me, would try their best to find a way to break through the creditor protection of those. And if it's sitting in front of the right jury who's uneducated in all the laws and the rules that govern those things, it's possible they could make a civil lawsuit against me that could get access to some of that money.
So it sounds like you're looking at spendthrift trusts.
Yeah, I'm building in extra layers of protection, not only for when you say spendthrift, is that where our families can't just spend the money, right? Because one of the things I'm doing is I'm actually building a generational asset. So for us, our family loved the lake, and there's a lake about an hour and a half from us that we love to spend time on. It's kind of our family's retreat. And what I want to do is ensure that my grandchildren's children will have the ability to go to the same place and enjoy the same things that my kids have enjoyed. Well, how am I going to do that? I'm setting up trust for that asset to be held in, and then I'm creating assets that can't be spent, but only used to pay for the maintenance and upkeep of that family asset. So that's the kind of, when you start talking about 100-year planning, like I'm actually in some of the weeds of that, of actually implementing some of those things. And only that only comes from being in conversations with people who've done something similar and then getting on calls with some of these attorneys that come and speak at our events and saying, okay, help me, because I'm a public school educated guy here. Like I need like color by numbers, you know, like I need somebody to show me how to make this work. And then thankfully, having guys like yourselves around me to just encourage me not to stop short.
Well, I can't wait to see the structure when we get together.
All right. That's what I told you.
I know you're going to make a flowchart, and I'm going to be like, oh, perfect. Just give this to the...
He's all about the flowcharts. That's absolutely...
I know. Cool. Well, I think we've sufficiently laid out a little bit about what the mastermind is about. I encourage you guys to go and check it out. You can visit wealthaboutwallstreet.com as well to talk about some of the active business that Russ and Joey run, and talk to JD a little bit about IBC policies and why you should or should not do those things. I think, quick aside, do you guys have 401ks?
Not a chance.
Oh, weird. I don't know why.
I do have a 401k. Before the K is an LA, and after the K is an E, house. I have a 401 lake house. Yeah. It's amazing the difference between my 401 lake house and most people's 401k, right? Like they get statements. I got pictures, you know, they've got restrictions and access to get to the money. I got keys to let me in, you know, like I get taxed at capital gains. They get taxed at ordinary income.
Oof.
Like there's so many more benefits to my 401 lake house than your 401k. I can assure you. We actually did a whole video on that. You could go to our YouTube page and search that, I'm sure. But yeah, I saw it.
So wealthwithoutwallstreet.com, go to /Club 200 if you want to hear more about the mastermind. You can reach out to me directly too if you really want to have a conversation about this. I'm going to put a bunch of links in the bottom of the show notes where you can go and see what it is that we're doing. But yeah, I mean, look, financial education, if you don't have one that came from your parents, you did not get one in college. I know that because I went and I have a fancy degree that didn't teach me any of this stuff. And then access to the deals, right? Access to the capital efficiencies, access to the people that have already done it. Why go and try to figure it all out on your own? And that brings me back to the point in the beginning of the show, which is you're going to pay for it one way or the other. This is by far the cheapest, most efficient, and most fun way, frankly, to go and get that done. Because I don't know, last time We went and did some K1 speed time trials. I whooped up on everybody round one. Then me and Russ got into some major accidents in round two. Kalinowski didn't stand a chance. We torpedoed him. So anyway, it was, it's not just we go and sit and learn, right? We, there's so much fun stuff that we go and do and get to see different parts of the world. And so I can't wait. Sorry, I'm going to miss you guys in the next couple of weeks, but I know I'll be at the next one. And, be there in spirit. A lot of our, it's tough when you get involved in groups like this, because then when you miss one, you're like, man, I had an opportunity to hang out with all my friends. And anyway, yeah. I appreciate you guys jumping on. Any parting thoughts?
Man, well, thank you for having us. Yeah. If this is interesting at all and you want to try to attend one of our events, go to thepassiveincomeretreat.com and you can see what the next event is. If you get this before the end of September, you want to see if you can get in there last minute and come visit with us in Scottsdale. Love to have you. I think we're looking at somewhere in the Caribbean in May, June of 2023. And if you're just interested in the mastermind and you want to see if this is a good fit for you, you can go to wealthwallstreet.com/club200.
Yeah, I would just say, you know, the caliber of Steve Libman. This is the group that brings together the Steve Libmans of the world. And that's what I'm excited. I'm proud to be a part of a group like that. But most importantly, because of the relationships that are built that I see happening across all aspects of this. And there's testimonial upon testimonial upon testimonial. But I will just tell you, this is a game changer. It's a life changer. And if you feel like it's a good fit for you, we'd love to have you apply and see if you would be good for us.
Cool. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming on again. Thanks for visiting Free from Wall Street. Make sure you get a wealthwallstreet.com. Thanks, guys, for listening. See ya.
Thanks for listening to the Free from Wall Street podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think.